This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Tired already? Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, in the previous lecture we just learned about the importance of consistency. And consistency, it is an amazing characteristic, but it comes with a lot of discipline and a huge, huge sacrifice and price that a person has to pay. However, the rewards of consistency are amazing. They are worth it. As we will see in the example of Asiya radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an amazing teacher. And one day, the Prophet ﷺ drew four lines on the ground. And he did that in order to draw everyone's attention to those four lines. That pay attention to the fact that these are four, and they're four lines. And the Prophet ﷺ asked them, that do you know what these four lines represent? And the companion said that Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best among the women of paradise are four. And they are Khadija radiallahu anha, Fatima radiallahu anha, Maryam radiallahu anha, and Asiya radiallahu anha. These four women, he said, are the best of the women of paradise. And I'm sure when you come across this hadith, I'm sure you've heard of it before, you may have wondered, well, what about the other amazing women? How come the Prophet ﷺ did not mention them in this hadith? Well, they are mentioned in other ahadith. Like, for example, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentions the status of Aisha radiallahu anha. But here he mentions these four women. And if you think about it, what is common in these four women is the fact that they played a huge role in protecting, in nurturing, in defending the messengers of Allah, alayhim wassalam. We see, for example, that Khadija radiallahu anha, she played such a huge role in comforting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in encouraging him in his early days. Fatima radiallahu anha, being a young girl, she also defended the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in times, in situations when men could not come forward. Once the Prophet ﷺ was praying near the Kaaba, and the enemies of Allah, what did they do? They brought these insides of the camel that had just been slaughtered, and they put them on top of the neck of the Prophet ﷺ, and he was not able to get up. And imagine he's in that position, and the Muslims are watching, but none of them has the ability to come forward, because who is it that did that to the Prophet ﷺ? It was these big men. They knew that if they came forward, they would be in a lot of trouble. So who came to rescue the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over there? It was his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, a young girl at the time. And she didn't just come and remove those things from him. She actually yelled at those men. Can you imagine? A young girl yelling at Abu Jahl, how satisfying, right? Alhamdulillah. So we see that both of them played a huge role in protecting, defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maryam alayhi salam, she gave birth to Isa alayhi salam, nurtured him, protected him, and also she paid a huge price in being the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And then we have Asiya radiallahu anha, who also played a huge role in saving the life of Musa alayhi salam, in nurturing him, in protecting him from the harm of Fir'aun. And then we see that she became a believer, and she paid a huge, huge price in believing in Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salam. We see that Asiya radiallahu anha is mentioned 2 times in the Book of Allah. And this is something significant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Imra'atu Fir'aun, the wife of Fir'aun, in 2 places in the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned her by name. And this is significant because not many women are mentioned in the Quran. And out of those women, there's only a few whose names we know. And Asiya radiallahu anha is one of them. Who is she? What exactly did she do? We see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us how Fir'aun had really exalted himself in the land of Egypt. And he had divided the people of Egypt. And he was oppressing a group of those people, and that is the Bani Israel. And how was he oppressing them? Everybody knows he was killing their children and he was keeping their women alive. This was a genocide. This was an intended, a deliberate effort to not only control the population of Bani Israel, but also to oppress them and to really destroy them from the inside. So in that environment, we see that Asiya radiallahu anha, she is a believer. And this is significant because she is from the family of Fir'aun. She is the wife of Fir'aun. And yet she is someone who believes in Allah, who believes in the Prophet of Allah. We see that Asiya radiallahu anha does not become like the people around her. And this is significant because a lot of times we just follow the trends. We just do whatever is culturally acceptable or whatever is common, whatever is, you know, is acceptable. And we fail to distinguish between what is right and between what is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ, that say good and bad are not equal. They're not the same. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ, even if the abundance of bad impresses you, it attracts you, that you see it everywhere. You see that it is trendy. You see that it is acceptable. You see that it is the norm. But Asiya, even though she is in the house of Fir'aun and she sees what a tyrant her husband is, and she sees how the people around her are all oppressing the Bani Israel, how they are participating in that, she does not become a part of that oppression. She does not play a role in that. In fact, we see that she uses her voice and she uses the leverage that she has to stop whatever injustice that she is able to. And so we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how when the people of Fir'aun, they discover baby Musa at the bank of the river and they pick him up and they're deciding to kill him, right? And they bring him to Fir'aun. At that moment, what does Asiya do? She speaks up. She uses her voice. She uses the leverage that she has. And she says that, لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ, don't kill him. And she says to her husband that, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكْ, that this child is so adorable. He is a source of comfort of the eye for me and for you. So please, don't kill him. And she says, عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا, maybe he will benefit us. Or maybe we can adopt him as our own child. So Asiya, we see that she does not just become, you know, a part of the injustice that she witnesses around her. She is in no way complicit. And she speaks up. She uses her voice to defend Musa alayhi salam. Now one might wonder, in a position that she is in, that how could saving one child make a difference? Wasn't it that hundreds of children were being killed on the regular in Egypt? Right? Children were being killed every day. Boys were being killed every day. But Asiya speaks up to save the life of one child. She does not belittle the one act of goodness that she has the power to do. And it is so important to remember that. When we see injustice all around us, when we see evil widespread everywhere, we wonder, what could my voice do? What could my contribution do? What could my charity do? How could that even make a difference? We belittle our efforts, but we see that if Asiya has the opportunity to save the life of one child, she does that. And does that make a difference? It makes such a huge difference. By saving the life of Musa alayhi salam, how many more lives does Asiya end up saving? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا, that whoever saves one life, it is as though they save all of humanity. You think that it is a small contribution. You think that what you can do could make no difference whatsoever. But the results are not in our control. What is in our control, what is in our ability, is to do the little that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has empowered us to do. So let us seize those tiny moments and those tiny opportunities, and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a huge impact from our small, tiny efforts. So we see that Asiya saves the life of Musa alayhi salam, and by doing just one deed, she makes such a huge difference. Then we see about Asiya that when she sees Musa alayhi salam, she says something good. And when she says something good, she also receives what is good. What does she say? She says, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكَ. She says to Fir'aun that this child is a coolness of the eye for me and for you. So what happened? Did Musa alayhi salam become a coolness of the eye for her? Did he? Yes, he did. She raised him, and not only was he a source of comfort for him in a motherly sense, but also we see that Musa alayhi salam, when he delivers the message and she believes, she receives the greatest coolness, right? The greatest comfort that a person can get in paradise because of iman. But what does Fir'aun do? Does Fir'aun agree with her that yes, he is Qurratu Ayn? No, he does not. And so the ulama say that because Asiya said Qurratu Ayn li, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam Qurratu Ayn laha. He made Musa alayhi salam a source of comfort for her because this is what she said. And Fir'aun refused. Fir'aun did not agree. He did not say, yes, this child is a source of comfort for me too. He did not agree. And so the ulama said that had Fir'aun said that, yes, this child is Qurratu Ayn li, what would have happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have guided him just as he guided her. But because he refused, this is why Musa alayhi salam became an enemy to him and a source of his downfall. And this shows us that it is very important for us to say and expect good from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us. Because every blessing, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings into our lives, remember, it has good in it, and it may also have some kind of potential harm in it. But focus on the good and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for you. You know, a small thing, when the wind would blow, all right, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray that, oh Allah, make it good for us, right? Oh Allah, I ask you for its goodness. And this is not just related to the wind. This is something that we find in so many du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him with the goodness that is in different things. So Asiya, she says something good, and therefore she receives what is good. And she becomes a force from the forces of Allah, who defend the religion of Allah, who protect the religion of Allah. Now we see that when Musa alayhi salam, he returns to Egypt as a prophet, and he conveys the message to Fir'aun, what happens? We see that Fir'aun ups his oppression of the Bani Israel. And so he begins to kill the children, the boys of Bani Israel, for another time, for a second time. And not only that, he also killed the all of those magicians who embraced Islam, right? And it is said that it was 70,000 magicians who came to compete with Musa alayhi salam, who were disbelievers at the beginning of the day, and by the end of the day, they were all martyrs, because Fir'aun killed every single one of them. And he didn't just kill those magicians. He would actually torture and kill any person, even from his own people, who believed in Musa alayhi salam. So we see, for example, that Fir'aun's daughter, all right, her hairdresser, she became Muslim, all right? And when she said Bismillah, all right, Fir'aun's daughter was like, who is that, right? Don't you believe in my father as God? And she says, no, I believe in Allah, who is your Lord, and also my Lord, and also the Lord of Fir'aun. And so, what does the daughter of Fir'aun do? She goes and tells her father. And what does Fir'aun do to that woman? Fir'aun doesn't just kill her. He actually brings her with all of her children, her little children. And he throws all of her children, one by one, into the fire in front of her eyes. Until eventually he throws her infant child in the fire in front of her eyes, and he also throws her. This is what is happening to the people who are believing in Musa alayhi salam. It is obviously extremely, extremely dangerous. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that no one believed in Musa alayhi salam except ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ, except some young people from his nation. It was only some youths from the nation of Fir'aun who believed in Musa alayhi salam. But of course, among them was also Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. I want you to understand that, you know, just as the current events have shown, that it can be extremely difficult to speak up for the truth. It doesn't seem that, you know, the current events have shown that it's not that easy to speak up for the truth. People will write one post, and on the basis of that post, they're going to be fired from their work. They're going to lose their job, right? And it is not just the Muslims. It is anybody who speaks up for the truth. We see that they end up losing a lot. And the more you have to lose, right? And we see that Asiya is in the house of power. She is the wife of Fir'aun. She is living the most comfortable life. If she is the wife of Fir'aun, imagine how much she receives from Fir'aun, and how much privilege she has, and how much dunya she has. But we see that when she believes in Musa alayhi salam and she defends Musa alayhi salam, what happens? Asiya radiallahu anha not only loses a lot, she also suffers a lot. She has to pay a huge price. But her wealth, her privilege, they do not deceive her, because she understands that this dunya is, its nature is temporary. No matter how much it is, the akhirah is always, always better. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let worldly life delude you. Don't be deceived by it. And what is the deception of worldly life? That we think that it is incredibly important. That we think that we must have it at all costs. That we think we cannot afford to lose any of it. That we think that it's going to last with us forever. But is that so? No. The nature of this worldly life is that it is mata'un qaleel. It is a temporary enjoyment. It is not meant to last. And we see that Asiya recognizes that. And so her wealth, her privilege, all of the dunya that she has, it does not prevent her from believing in Musa alayhi salam, from believing in Allah azza wa jal. And this is very important for us to remember, Because sometimes, you know, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, that there will come a time when a person will sell his religion for the smallest of worldly gains. So we have to be very careful. Asiya is willing to give up all of her dunya for the sake of the akhirah. And what does she do? What choices does she make? We see that Asiya radiallahu anha chooses Allah over Fir'aun. Fir'aun is someone who had declared himself to be God. And he used his power. And he threatened people with his power. And he inflicted great harm on people with his power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ, that Fir'aun was someone who had exalted himself. And this is not all imaginary, this is real. Fir'aun had power. And he would use that power to harm people. So if anyone feared Fir'aun, that fear was not imaginary, it was real. There were going to be real consequences. But Asiya chooses Allah over Fir'aun. And what happens then? Fir'aun turns against her. And he doesn't just, you know, divorce her simply. No. He uses everything within his ability, within his power, to torture her, to cause her pain, to cause her suffering, to somehow get her to give up her religion. But does she give it up? No, she does not. And this is a woman who only knew a life of comfort. Because being the wife of Fir'aun, you can only imagine how much comfort, how much luxury she had at her disposal. And what happens when she believes? We learn about how Fir'aun tortured her. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentioned about how Fir'aun had put spikes on her hands and on her feet. And he literally nailed her to the ground so that she would not be able to move. And if she tried to move even a little bit, her hands would hurt, her feet would hurt. Can you imagine? And he had appointed guards over her to ensure that nobody comes to rescue her, nobody comes to save her. And she is like that in the sun. And when the guards would get tired and they would go take a break, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentions in one of the narrations that the angels would shade her. Subhanallah, this is what Fir'aun is doing to his own wife. But does she give up? No, she does not give up. In that condition, she turns to Allah and she calls upon Allah and she says, Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil jannah. Oh my Lord, build for me near you a house in paradise. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. And oh Allah, save me from Fir'aun and his deed. The ulama say, the work of Fir'aun was his torture and his abuses that he hurled at her. And the torture, the physical torture, the physical pain that he inflicted on her. And she says, وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh my Lord, save me from the wrongdoing people, from this oppressive nation. Because she knew that it wasn't just Fir'aun who was guilty. It was all the people who supported him. His whole establishment, right, that were in the wrong. So she prays to Allah that, oh Allah, you save me from all of them. And we learn in the narration about how when she makes this dua, the veil of the unseen is removed and she's shown her home in paradise. And Hassan al-Basri said this was a house, you know, what she was shown was a house made of pearls. Subhanallah. And so she smiles. And in some narrations it is mentioned that when Fir'aun sees her smiling, he calls her Majnoon, yani that she's insane, that what is wrong with her? How could a person be smiling in this condition? But you know what her dua reminds me of? Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil jannah. Look at her dua. She says, Rabbi, my Lord. Oh Allah, my Lord. What did Fir'aun claim? Fir'aun claimed, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am your greatest Lord. And Asiya says in her dua, Rabbi, my real Lord. And this reminds me of Bilal radiallahu anhu, that when he would be tortured, what would he say? Ahad, ahad. Right? In his defiance of the people who were torturing him, he would say ahad, ahad. And so we see that Asiya also, in that, in the middle of that punishment, she's calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi. And she says, Rabbi ibn Ali, O Lord, build for me a house near you. She mentions the location of the house before mentioning the house in paradise. And what is the location that she wants? She wants nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is her ultimate concern. And she prays for a house in paradise. Because what did she end up giving up over here in this world? She gave up her house, her palace, her home, her comfort, right? Her domain. She sacrificed all of that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she asks Allah that Rabbi ibn Ali indaka baytan fil jannah. And she asks Allah that, oh Allah, save me from Fir'aun, his torture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved her. Now in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that Allah presents an example for the people who believe. And this example is of who? إِمْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ, the wife of Fir'aun. So the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, is an example for who? Is she just an example for believing women? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, for all who believe. For the men and the women. For every single believer. How is she an example for every single believer? The ulama say, because she held on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She held on to the truth, right? In her tamassuk, in the fact that she did not let go. And how easy would it have been for her to just let go, right? Everything could just go back to normal. And she, her life would be so easy and comfortable again. And she could just forget about everything that's happening outside of her castle, right? But no, she holds on to Allah. She is steadfast on the truth. And she is an example of patience in hardship. Asiya is not an average woman. Asiya is the wife of Fir'aun who has only lived a life of luxury and comfort. And if Fir'aun inflicted so much torture on her, and she was patient, she endured, she did not quit, then what befits us? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah, for his protection. But what befits us? That in our trials, small and big, what should we do? We should follow the footsteps of Asiya and remain true to Allah. Remain steadfast in Allah's religion and call upon Allah and ask Him to compensate us for whatever we have had to lose, for whatever that we have had to sacrifice for His sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do that. We see that it never happens that a person calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, and a person has hope in Allah, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them better than what they asked for. Asiya asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a home in paradise. Asiya asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for closeness to Allah in paradise. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes her of the inhabitants of paradise. But not just of the inhabitants of paradise, but as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of the women of paradise. The best of the women of paradise. Who is an example, a role model for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to hold on to the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see the truth in the midst of all this darkness and confusion. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all sincerity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all steadfastness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us for his religion, for truth, for justice. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us from the trials of this world and also from the punishment in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of us. رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة. This is a dua that we should also make for ourselves. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.